Let's stand and sing it once again. You believe he's here this morning? Oh, he is here. We invite you, Lord. Oh, he is here. Calling out our name this morning. Amen. God bless you. It's good to be in service. This is 31 in your hymn book. You're glad you have the promises you can stand on this morning? Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Oh, glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, and standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, oh, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. I'm standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Of God, and standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. I'm overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Why don't you greet one another this morning in the name of the Lord? Listening air. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. You thankful for His promises this morning?
Oh, hallelujah, He redeemed me. Oh, I've been born again. It's 5:44 if you don't know it. Oh, I thank God He justified me. And of His fullness have we all received of Him. Oh, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, hallelujah, He redeemed me.
That you're a new creation this morning by the grace of the Lord. It's good to be out in service this morning, having some announcements. Lord willing, we'll have our youth Bible study for ages 15 to 30, single, never been married. That'll be Thursday, January the 30th, from 7:30 to 9:30. That'll be here in the basement of the church. And the following day, Friday, January the 31st, we'll have youth Bible study for ages 10 to 14, and that's the same time, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., youth Bible study this month will cover the first part of the book of Romans. Young people should read Romans chapters 1 through 7 between now and then. Parents are encouraged to make these chapters a part of family devotions over the next 2 weeks. So I pray that that's a blessing to you. I want to announce this to the young people as well. The church would like to invite the young people to go to the True Word Tabernacle Banquet in Bluffton, Ohio. The church will provide transportation and chaperones for any youth wanting to go to the banquet. Recommended age is 13 and up. The banquet is Saturday, February the 15th. The cost of the banquet is $30. Hotel costs will be shared evenly. Please let Brother Trevor know if you'd like to attend, as we need to determine how many people are interested for transportation logistics, and registration must be done by February the 1st. Testimony here. This is from Brother Anthony Bryant. Brother Anthony's bone in his foot was not healing. After 2.5 months, he went up for prayer, and 2 weeks later, it completely healed. It's completely healed. He still has to use the boot for 2 more weeks because they say after a break, the bone is weak, but he's down to 1 crutch and the boot. Praise the Lord. Also, his blood clot went from acute to subacute, which means after 2 weeks on blood thinners, it's already dissolving. They said it was going to be 6 to 12 weeks. Amen. That's wonderful. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And got an update from Sister Sarah Houchin on her mom, on her heart cath. One of her bypasses is closed, but it is not causing her any problems. They're going to keep an eye on that. So she was able to go home the same day after her heart cath. So I want to praise the Lord for that as well. Let's give him a hand clap of praise for answering these prayers. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want to remember Brother Jalou and his family for traveling mercies. Please remember Brother Jimmy, Burkett and his wife, Sister Laura, from Monticello, Kentucky. They were in a bad car wreck Friday evening and are both in the hospital with multiple injuries. Also want to remember Brother Nathan Bryant's nephew, Zachary, for an unspoken prayer request. And Brother Chris in Beckway asks that we kindly keep Sister Xavier from Sri Lanka in prayer. She was getting ready to go to church and she fell down in the bathroom and is unresponsive. So definitely want to remember that. Brother Darrell asks that we continue to remember Brother Isaiah in prayer as he recovers from his wisdom tooth surgery. And please pray for Sister Jeannie Hoover. She's not feeling well this morning. That's from Brother Hoover. Please pray for my brother, Jay Jones Jr. He has leukemia and has a dark spot on his pancreas, and they are checking to see if it is cancer. And that's from Sister Colleen Dabney. Sister Becky Bird asks, my mom has just had cataract surgery on one of her eyes and is having some complications. Please pray that she heals completely and has no distortions, and the surgery for her other eye is completely successful. You believe he's able to do all that? Amen. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, make that known by an uplifted hand. Brother Luke, would you come up and pray over these? God is more than able to meet these needs.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you this morning humbly, Lord, to put these requests before you, Father, Lord, and knowing that it's some of them may be small and some are very major, Lord, but no matter what it is, Lord, we know that you can meet each and every need, Father, Lord, and we just pray that you come now, Lord Jesus, and meet those needs and go to those ones that need you now, Father, Lord, and we thank you for all the ones that came out this morning, Lord, to serve you, Lord, and praise your name today, Lord. We just pray that you bless each one that's here, Lord. And Father, we pray for more spiritual revelation today, Lord. Lord, we just ask for more love in our hearts today, Lord. Lord, we just need you more than ever, Lord, in this day and age, as dark as it is, Father, Lord. But Lord, we know that you'll be with us, Lord, Father, because your word said that you would, Lord. Lord, we just love you now and just ask you to bless our service, Father, in Jesus Christ's name.
Bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time.
He wasn't looking at me when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was blacked by sin. Oh, he was looking at the blood. It's flowing rich and free. Precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart. It was so black by sin. He was looking at the blood. It's flowing rich and took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart. It was so black by sin. Oh, he was looking at the blood. It's flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me once more. He wasn't looking at me. And breathe that precious blood that covers me.
Five,
so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. I'm so
stand this morning.
Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed, oh, how you came. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are
in church this morning. Amen. Amen. Good to be among the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Though we had sins, black sins on our hearts, yet they're all washed away this morning. By the grace of God, just a quick couple of announcements. Tell you what, why don't you be seated this morning? Just a few things that I'd like to say. We're going to listen to the Pergamene Church Age tape this morning. We're privileged to have the recordings of the voice spoken of in Revelations 10:7. You know, the Bible wrote that there would be a voice in the last days to reveal the mystery, to wrap them all up. And God saw fit to record it. So this morning we're going to listen to one of those recordings. Because I think if you would have asked anyone throughout all ages, like, hey, you know what? You see this scripture? That's going to be recorded one day and you get to hear it. They'd be like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Like, that'll be great. And we're privileged. We're privileged. We get to hear it. Amen. So we're going to listen to that this morning going along with, I could say it's going along with the teaching, but that's really the opposite. The teaching that we've been doing on Sunday evenings going through the Church Age book is going along with this tape. So we're going to listen to this, and it's always my hope when I'm preaching, it's always my hope that as I'm teaching it, the next time you listen to that tape, it'll just be so much more alive and so much more real. So when he starts talking about Pergamus being Satan's seat, and he starts talking about Attalus coming out of Babylon and all of these, like, I hope all of this is like, whoa, this was on tape. I never caught it before. So that's always what I'm hoping for. So anyway, just real quick on the young people's banquet. I definitely need an official, I am going, if you're coming. So I've had a lot of people say, yeah, I'm coming and things like that. And probably part of it's on me that I haven't, like, written down who's told me. But so from today, like, I need an official, Brother Trevor, I'm going, write me down. So please give me that or text me, have your parents text me, however that's going, so we can get all that registration and everything done. And then for the youth Bible study, Romans chapters 1 through 7, if you, young people, if you can go through those, particularly to the older class, the 15 and up class, write down your questions. Write down what the Lord shows you in those chapters, and then we'll have a great discussion about it. So the more you guys study that and look at that and write down questions and thoughts that you have, the less I'll talk and the more you'll talk. So it's how that's going to go is totally up to you. Yes. So there we go. So this morning, as I said, we're going to listen to the Pergamene Church Age. And I just have a few things that I want to just point out, as if I hadn't pointed out enough already through our teaching. But you know, just as we're listening to this, as we're listening to this tape, let's not forget that these words, like, it's so easy for us to just kind of like, yay, we're listening to a tape and we're message believers and yay, and then we just kind of zone out. But don't do that, because Brother Branham's going to say some pretty amazing things that can help change your life if you hear the word, and then don't just be a hearer but a doer as well. There's one quote in here. He talks about how we can love others and keep bitterness away. How many want to keep bitterness away? He's going to tell you how to keep bitterness away in the tape that we're going to hear this morning. And it's not hard. Well, it can be. It just depends on how bitter you are. But the act of keeping bitterness away, what he's going to tell you will keep bitterness away, that's not hard. That's not hard. It's just the choice of whether you're going to do that or not. That might be hard. He's also going to talk about gifts in the church. I have a feeling that some of the quotes that we're going to hear this morning, we're going to hear again in a future Yield series, and really going along with some of the things that Brother Nathan's been preaching on, particularly the last couple of Wednesday nights. One of the things that Brother Branham is going to spend a lot of time on is the example of St. Martin and the godly life that St. Martin lived, and the miracles and things that were done in his life. And he'll say, see what I can do. He said, he never taken praise for nothing. He gave it to God and walked humbly and sweetly with such an air around him till people just loved to be around him. People just loved to be around St. Martin because he had this air around him. Only his enemies, and he loved them, his enemies, enough till he even prayed for them constantly all the time. And that was your example, my example, to do to others as he's did to us. So Jesus Christ is the example, but the life of Jesus Christ that was living in St. Martin that we're going to be hearing about, that's our example as well. Praying for our enemies, keeping such an atmosphere around us that people just love to be around us all the time. So that's a challenge. These are some of the things that we're going to be hearing. So if you just stand with me, just sing Only Believe before we start the tape.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Is here.
Jesus is here.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here.
Bless you. You may be seated. Brother Furman is going to get things going and put the words up on the screen for us. Musicians, thank you very much.
All right. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it'd be better turned out. All right. We are so happy to be here again tonight in the service of the Lord. And last night, I really thought the millennium had come.
And amen.
So now we got some, there'll be some questions here, and I'll put them in my pocket. So I guess this is prayer to be prayed over. And I'll try to answer the best that I can. Say, if you'd tell, Doc, if you'd turn that out, that beaming right down your own knees, I'm not under a spotlight. I'm not one of these spotlight preachers.
Amen.
So I'd be better this with. Out it, I suppose. Last, I asked for it, Doc. I'm repenting. you have turpin operate on it?
I sure do.
Oh, well, let's let it alone.
Didn't you say plastic surgery?
Yeah. Well, let's let it alone.
Oh, no, it's operated. Don't do that.
Oh, no. Now, don't you drop it.
That's Branham now.
Yeah. Now, I like that better. Sometimes I don't like a light to shine right in your face, you know. And it shine down this way, I can see better. Thank you, sir. That'll cost him.
Praise the Lord.
You know, you can't get finished on these church ages. And today, when I was studying on this one, I said to my wife, I said, oh, my, I got enough text to preach 50 sermons right out of this one. There's no way to do it but just hit the highlights. And maybe when we write up the book, then we'll try to get more in it. I didn't see you here, Brother Howard, Brother West. I just heard some good news that the last of Brother Dalton's family came in, the other boy. Brother Girl, that's 10, is it?
Nine.
You remember that was under the new ministry when the Lord told him there that his family would be saved. I've been praying for him to stand there not knowing what I would be saying. Holy Spirit said, I give you your family. There it is, every one of them. See how the Lord does? His words are perfect. They never, never fail. Well, we don't want to get on to the divine healing side. We're trying to stay as long this part on the prophetic side. Now, tonight I'm going to try just to talk, and if I can, and we'll get down to the historical parts of this great church age, of the second or the third church age we're on tonight. Are you enjoying it?
Amen.
Wonderful. I just really think it's wonderful how the Lord Jesus has blessed us and give us these things, and we appreciate it with all of our heart. Letting us know before time what is going to happen in the future.
Amen.
He knows the end from the beginning. And so we're so happy for that. So we are trusting the Lord to bless us. And you notice last night the Holy Spirit gave us, after the service is over, three messages and three souls. Just amen. Exactly. And when the Spirit was speaking, then it come back on the last interpretation, repeated, said what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Yeah. And the Spirit saying through the gifts of the church. Oh, may the church hold that reverent now. See, just keep it reverent. Be careful. Satan will come along, try to run you off at the deep end at it.
Amen.
Be sure it's the Holy Spirit each time. If it's the Holy Spirit, you'll speak directly to something that's going on. It's for the edification of the church.
Amen.
And then if you be reverent with those, God then will give you more. See, just keep adding more and more. And as now, someone's been calling and asking people, calling today and asking when the healing services will be. Now, as soon as this services are over next Sunday evening, I'm going away for a few days to kind of rest up my throat a little bit. And the following Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll have a healing service the following Sunday morning. That'll be, I don't know just what day that'll be, but it'll be a week from the 18th. Sunday morning, is that all right, brother?
Yes, sir.
Sunday morning, the 18th, praying for the sick. And in this, our pastor here, I haven't got a chance to say very much about him, but I want you all to try to meet our pastor. He's certainly a real brother in Christ.
Amen.
We're happy to have a brother that brought up in a Methodist background with holiness, and we all know Armand Neville. Everybody around here does. There's nobody puts a finger on his life. You don't like me to say that, but yet I'd rather give him a little bitty rosebud now than a whole reef after he's gone, see?
Right.
And now's the time. One night I was going out of the church and someone said, "Oh, Brother Branham, I sure appreciate that sermon." And I said, "Thank you." And so somebody standing at the door, it's been many years ago, here at the tabernacle, a minister said, "Well, bless God, I don't want anybody telling me that." He said, "I want all the glory to go to God." I said, "Well, it does." And I said, "Well, I like it myself." I said, "I really like it." And I said, "I have to be truthful." And he said, "Well, I don't like for people to say it about me, bless God." I said, "There's just one difference between me and you. I'm honest about it and you're not." Anybody likes, if you take a little child, brag on him a little, he'll do a better job. See?
That's right. That's
see?
Right.
God always, he likes to tell his children when he does right. You like to tell them when they're doing wrong, so why not tell them when they're doing right? See? So I certainly thank God for Brother Neville being the pastor of this flock here at the tabernacle. And seeing that man, Methodist, background, slow to, well, just like won't eat in the wrong stall. So, but finding out through the great Holy Spirit and now coming into those gifts and how fluently the Holy Spirit used him when he don't use his own mind. Watch the interpretation with the same rhythm and the same ups and downs, like nouns and pronouns and so forth, and answering it right back again. And this little brother, I don't think he's a Junior Jackson. Well, I'll keep still, Junior. I thank God for Junie Jackson.
Amen.
The brother certainly has a great gift from the Lord. And just always keep humble. Now, everyone in the church has something to do, but don't ever pull it aside for something else. Let it blend in with the rest of the church. It's for God. All things. See? Don't everybody want to speak with tongues. Everybody interpret. Try to do something good and just keep being good. Hold no malice, no grudges. Don't let any bitterness. No matter how bad the person is and how bad they talk about you, don't you never think evil in your heart against them. Because right there the devil will set right in and work up something right there. Just keep it all covered up with godly love, confession, and making right. And do good to those who do evil to you. If you only do good to those who do good to you, why, Jesus said, don't the publicans the same? See? The sinners? Anybody can be good to those that's good to them. But be good to those who are not good to you. Do something for those that would not do nothing for you. Speak a good word for the man that would speak evil against you. That way you keep all the bitterness out of your heart. You're always in love with everybody then. As long as you stay in love. Now you say, well, they did. We're not the judge. God is the judge. Amen. And you won't want that poor fellow to be cast away, would you? Certainly not, no matter who they are. You wouldn't want that. So try to be kind to them. And love hides a multitude of sin.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Love. Just that good Christian godly love. The man comes up and calls you a holy roller and all kinds of names. Now, just don't act like it, see? If you can't act like it, just walk away. But in your heart, you should be to a place you say, well, perhaps, brother, if you understood him the way I do, you'd feel like I do about it. See, and just be real sweet to him. You're like, go ahead like that. And even though we might differ as far as the east is from the west, that don't make any difference. As I said the other night, I got a brother that's he's a man-sized man, Melvin. He's tall, blonde-headed. We don't look no more alike than if we wasn't any relation at all. And our appetites are different, and our desires are different, but yet his mother is my mother. His father is my father. He's my brother, see, because we were born in the same family. Now, we differed. Melvin's not a Christian, and he likes baseball, horse races, and things like that. And I think he likes chocolate pie. So I'm sure we differed there. So I don't like horse races or baseball. I like fishing and hunting, see? And he wouldn't turn his hand over for that, and I wouldn't turn my hand over for the other. So then, see, but he likes chocolate pie, and I like cherry. So then, now I'm not hinting, see? But I said that one time in a meeting somewhere, that I like chocolate pie, and the next night I had about five chocolate or cherry pie, and I had four or five cherry pies the sisters had baked and brought to me. My, did we have a jubilee up in my room. But I don't mean it that way. So I mean just to show you the difference, you see. But no matter what he is, I love him. He's my brother. And so he's not a Christian because he sees things in another light. I see things in the light of Christ, but yet I can't say he's not my brother because we're brothers born in the same family. Now, last evening, I made a quotation at last, and remember now the first message come to the church after the ones that you know about, besides down there in Kentucky, was that there will be mysterious things in this meeting that will shock many. Remember that? It's on tape now. See? Last night one of them was revealed. So kind of stop just for a second, but I'm sure you caught it because the Holy Spirit brought over that was to be an eternal hell. There's no such a thing in the Bible. There's no eternal hell. If you burn in hell for eternity, then you have to have eternal life to be there. If you're alive, and there's only one form of eternal life, that's God. See? So, and then the Bible doesn't teach an eternal hell. It teaches an everlasting hell. That might be for 10,000 million years. I don't know. But it has to cease because I had to bring it in there. I keep it away from the churches and things till it's up to me to say it. And then there's several things in here that's going to be up to me to say it. And so then each night we find them. But now from tonight on, begin to put on your spiritual thinking, you see. Let the Holy Spirit just soak it in. And then if you hear and disagree with it, just go away and say, poor Brother Branham, he certainly doesn't know. I'm going to pray for him. And you do that. And then the Lord will make me know what's true then. But you just sympathize with him. Don't cast him away. So then that might be true also. But, oh, I'm having such a good time thinking it this way. So it's just making each end meet. And I may be wrong, but there may be a break there somewhere I don't know nothing about. So maybe you do, and you pray the Lord will show it to me. And now, and above all things, keep praying one for another and never let the devil show any bitterness anywhere. See, keep your souls pure in this hour. For we're in the closing hours of the history of this world. See, we're at the end, friends, without one shadow of doubt. As we come down along these church ages, we're going to find out pretty soon, and maybe a whole lot of it tonight, we're more or less backing up and getting a background where we have to close it out. And now in tonight, we reveal some real spiritual things. Remember now, I've said it, you'll have to put your spiritual thinking on, but watch the Scriptures. It's got to be in the Scriptures, and it's got to be through the Scriptures. See? I remember just the knowledge of the Word of saying, well, I went to high school, I went to Bible school, I went to college. That doesn't spell nothing. All the Pharisees and Sadducees did the same thing and missed knowing Jesus by a million miles. See?
Amen.
The Scriptures, the revelation of the Scriptures, it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. And reveal to babes such as will learn. So let's you and I be babes and just unload our hearts and say, Lord, you tell us, and we are listening. And then catch the spiritual application. Remember that words that will be said from tonight on, catch the spiritual application. Because we're coming into the great mysterious church age. Now, I think that was all. Now, I remember tomorrow night, we're on another church age each night, and I'm sure that we could have plenty of time tomorrow to run all day long on this, and then tomorrow night too. But see, many of them will be working, and I'll try just get the very highlights of this message, hit the spots it spoke of here, which you can take one of and just keep on running it out to just no telling where it would go, you see. But then you study it out at home, and I'll be praying for you, and you be praying for me, and God bless us together as
Amen.
His believing children. Now, before we start, I wonder if it wouldn't be too hard on you if we could stand. And you know why I like to stand and pray? Jesus said, when you stand praying, pray our Father who art in heaven, then forgive one another, you see. Then Gideon chose his army one time by the ones that stooped and bowed down and lapped the water. Are the ones that stood up and got the water, you see. So the ones that fell, they've been prostrating themselves before idols, and he knew they wasn't subjects to go. So the one who stood with her eye up watching all the time, that's the way we do, stand and pray. Now, I believe in kneeling and praying too, but standing and praying, I think it just means something to us somehow. Let's bow our heads now. Each heart be bowed also. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we are now solemnly approaching Thy throne of justice, and we're not coming to ask You to give us justice because we'd all be consumed, but we're coming pleading mercy, O Lord. Pour out upon us tonight of Thy Holy Spirit, not because that we are worthy, but because that we are unworthy and realize it and recognize it and are coming not in our own name because it's not sufficient. We have no justice or nothing. Our utmost righteousness would be filthy rags in Your sight. So we humbly come in the name of the Lord Jesus, bringing Him before us the blood of His covenant, packing it up on our hearts and saying, God, be merciful to us sinners who are pleading for mercy in the hour of distress, that when someday the last sermon will be preached, we don't know when it will be, the last time there will be a shout go in the air, the Bible will lay closed on the pulpit, arms will be stacked, and the taps will be sounding, the sun will be setting. Oh God, then hide me over Rock of Ages. In that hour. And we see there's no escape now, nothing but through you. We see nations are breaking. We see the Bible fulfilled. We see Israel awakening. We see the message to the church. And the hour is just about over at the time of great things to be revealed and the seven seals open. God, God, oh God, be merciful to us. We plead for mercy. And as your servant, I plead for mercy for everyone in divine presence tonight. God, may there not be one person among us that's got sin on their soul, but may it be cleansed just now by the blood of the Lord Jesus, that we all might meet in that blissful place yonder beyond the sky. And as I approach this scripture tonight, Father, oh, I'm insufficient. God, there's none of us sufficient. We admit we know nothing, Father, but we're solemnly depending on the Holy Spirit that He might reveal to us as we unfold through our mental knowledge that You've gave us the history. May the Holy Spirit give the spiritual application to our hearts. Grant it, Father, for we wait on Thee in the name of Jesus, Thy Son. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Be seated. In the second chapter of the book of the Revelation, and the second church, the third church age, begin. Pardon me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We ask You to be with us, Father, and bless us and help us to be wise master builders in this hour of great distress amongst the people, when confusion and all is being carried on. Help us to be our best, Lord, to be Your servants through Christ's name. Amen. Now, I said that verse that you might know. Did you notice the interpretation didn't come to the Word? Our sister was anointed with the Holy Spirit, no doubt, but she had gave the message after the Word had been come into, you see. It's just a little bit from the order of the thing. Now, that was all right, sister dear, who you are. Holy Spirit up on you. Oh, it's so hard to hold it like that. I know. It's just like when you'd be saying something other, and see, but it was all right, but you probably felt it even before that we started, you see. And that's the reason, see, it comes back when the Spirit's working. The spirits of the prophesiers are subject to the prophets, you see. That's right. Now, maybe the Holy Spirit anoints you again. I hope He does, just after the service is over. And you watch the interpretation come, see. Because it's be right straight in order then, you see. But we're just approaching the Word, you see, in here. So I that was really of God. It really was. I believe it, feel it with all my heart, because I felt the back come to it, you see. But the Holy Spirit, it wasn't time. He's got a message to the sister for the church, but here's where He's working His message now. See, He won't confuse Himself. He puts all things in order. I'm sure everyone understands, you see. That's right. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Revelations, and let we begin tonight with the Pergos age, the 12th chapter. Now, last night we left off at the 11th verse. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, in the first church age, we found out The Nicolaitans have started in. God revealed himself, Jesus revealed himself as the Almighty God. No other, no parts, no pieces of God. He was God alone. Now, in the last night's church age, we find out that he stood at the door and he wrote these things to the church and told them of their poverty, but he said they had Nicolaitans and so forth that he hated. Last night, they were the wore the martyr's crown. He told them not to be fearing unto death, that he would be with them. And then at the last, he said, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, if there's one death and we know about it, then there's got to be another death somewhere. Because one death, we die here in the flesh. The second death, we died in the spirit, the soul. And the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Die is just absolutely go out from everything. Your death means to be taken away. It's carried away, hid away. Now, when our loved ones die, they're out of existence as far as we know. We call that death. But a Christian does not die. There's no scripture that a Christian dies because he's got eternal life. When a sinner dies, he's finished. And his soul will finally die. But when a Christian dies, he's just waiting with Jesus to the return back again. Oh, I hope I have time to get to that at the end of this vision tonight. Get to that where we come back and you'll see it. It brings in that same thing of the second death. This same chapter we're on tonight brings in the same thing and such a beautiful application here. Now tonight we're going to read this letter right quick because I have some information historically we want to get to first and try not to keep you too long. Now, after these services are over, any time I read this too fast, if you want to get the application of it, Brother Mercer here has it all. I hand the notes right to him, and he could, because he's writing on the book, he'd give you any ditto you want on it. That'd be all right, Brother Mercer. 12th verse, unto the angel of the church of Pergamos, write these things, saith he that has a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even Satan's seat, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days, wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine. His deeds back there in Ephesus, now it's become a doctrine. Doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You remember me telling you that the other night, how to approach to them? Deeds in Ephesus, now it's a doctrine. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them, not the real church, them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Lord, add his blessings to this.
Amen.
And help us now as we try.
Hallelujah.
Now, on the background of this church, it's the third church age called Pergamos. And the date that this church existed was from 312 to 606. The age was false doctrine, Satan lying, the foundation of papacy rule, and marriage to church and state. The reward was hidden manna, a white stone. And the star, the angel of this church, that by all that the Holy Spirit would let me do, I have picked St. Martin.
Amen.
It was a revelation given me on it, because reading of the other saints during that time, I picked St. Martin because that he was a godly man. To my opinion, he was 10 times more apostle than St. Patrick was. Now, St. Patrick was St. Martin's nephew. St. Martin's sister was a mother of St. Patrick. And St. Martin was, of course, that was St. Patrick's uncle. Now, his life was from A.D. 315 to 399. Now, here's the reason I picked him in preference to other saints of that day, because the way that he held himself and under the inspiration of God, I do not believe that now the Catholic Church did not canonize him. They did not recognize him. And that's another reason I picked him.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And all these that we're seeing that's got the spiritual ministry, that early church turned down, the Nicolaitan church, turned it down because of these things. They were spiritual, and as I've drawn here, the church was being squeezed out, and the Nicolaitan doctrine was in the majority, and the true church was in the minority, has always been. And as I said from the beginning, it was Jesus that said, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom." That's why I apply the kingdom to a spiritual kingdom. And we have a spiritual kingdom. And we're so happy of that. And a king in this kingdom. Remember, he is the king of saints.
Amen.
Sainted ones. He is their king who leads them. The life of St. Martin is one of the greatest miracle-filled lives of anybody in the church ages, from all the way from St. Paul out. He was one of the most spiritual men. He was, one of his first miracles was he was a soldier to begin with, I believe, and then one day he was coming by and there was someone, a man laying cold and shivering, and all the people that was willing, or not willing, but was able to help the man, they just passed him by. Like the priests, the Levites, did in the Good Samaritan. But when St. Martin come by, realizing his duty as a Christian believer, he had one coat, a cloak over his shoulders. He cut it in two with his sword and gave half of it to the beggar. He took the other half. And that night began his career. For Jesus Christ appeared to him in a vision wrapped in that same robe that he cut half in two. Which fulfilled the scripture, "Insomuch as you have done unto these, you have did it unto me." So take that for a lesson. Whatever you do to somebody, you're doing it unto Christ. Just remember. Let's say that together. What you do to others, you have done to Christ. So no matter what he thinks about you, it's what you think about him, see,
amen,
that brings the blessing. That was his first miracle and the beginning of his ministry. There's so much to it, I wouldn't have time, because I want you back tomorrow night and every night, so I don't want to keep you too long. All right? The next miracle that I chose to speak of tonight, he was absolutely demolishing heathenism, and he was firmly against the Church of Rome. He absolutely disagreed with all of the First Church of Rome's bishops, they was getting worldly and so forth like that, and he withstood them. He certainly was against them. That's a miracle that he even lived in them kind of times. Now, but he was destroying a pagan grove one day and tearing down a pagan altar. And there was a sacred tree standing by the pagan altar, and he was cutting this tree down, and many standing by was resenting it. He said, if I be a man of God, tie me the way that tree is leaning, and let the tree fall on me. If I be a man of God, if I'm not a man of God, the tree will kill me. If I am a man of God, my God can twist that tree somewhere else.
Amen.
Quite a challenge.
Amen.
So they started chopping on the tree, and when the tree started to fall, it switched around and killed a bunch of the spectators.
Amen.
God twisted it back up the hill. A miracle. All the time there was miracles in his meeting. Another miracle that I thought to speak on was a dead baby that he laid his body across, and it raised back to life again after he had prayed for some time for this baby. Another one is outstanding to me was the emperor. And he was going to kill some of God's Holy Ghost-filled people. And, of course, he was the right hand of the bishop of the First Church of Rome at that time. And he actually was a pope before he was called a pope. His name is Damasur. And he was putting all the Christians to death that he could get a hold of to put to death. And this emperor's wife, a pagan and darkness over her own heart. And when this sainted Saint Martin came to intercede, his wife put him next to it that he would try to intercede for these Christians not to be killed. Of course, when he finally got to him, didn't do any good because he was just the right-hand man to this pope. So he killed those Holy Ghost-filled Christians anyhow. But Saint Martin wanted to interview with him, and the guard stopped him at the gate. Well, St. Martin fell on his face and laid there and prayed until God showed him to go in. When he raised up off there, he walked through them locked doors and they opened by themselves.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Now, this is history. This is just not somebody writing about him and just as a little, if anything, there would be a prejudice. If it would be some church talking, or I'd say at least especially the papal church, they wouldn't mention those things. But see, the history quotes the truth.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And this man walked right up St. Martin, in right by every guard, everything else, right into the front of the emperor, and the emperor didn't want to respect God's servant. You know, that's not mannerly. So he just turned his head and wouldn't even respect him. You know what God did? He tried to talk to him, and he just kept his head turned. God is going to make this heathen pay respect to his servant. So he just set the thing afire and scorched him all out of his seat and raised him up. Now that's Bible history. Nicene Council. He had to respect God's servant. He made him stand up and even scorched the seat where he was sitting. Fire went through his body and scorched the bottom of the seat. And he had to jump up from there. God has a way of doing things, you know. God's able with these stones to rise children to Abraham. And remember, that same God dwells among us tonight. It's the same God. All right. And then another that I like, and then I'll stop. I got some here, but this is one I was very fond of. While he was one day waiting for his people in prayer in his study room, and he was a great man, and he carried this Holy Spirit-filled church and tore us all. Had them all filled with the Spirit, all of his congregation, and all out throughout to all the country. The Christians did miracles and signs and wonder. See, God speaks to his messenger. The messenger speaks to the laity. And then that's what takes place, you see. He keeps the laity and him alike in God. You see, the Holy Spirit flowing through the group of them. Many times when they was martyred, they stood the minister right out among them like that and killed them all at the same time. And what evils they did do to them people. They burned them. They took man and nailed them with down to logs and turned wild dogs loose and let them eat from the back of the person, pulling their intestines through before the person ever died. Taking women would cut their right breast off and let them stand there as their heart beat and just throb till he pitched over dead like that. Take their children from them, expected mothers, and feed them to the hogs and things, let the mother stand watching. And all kinds. Now, you wouldn't think that people profess Christianity would do that. But listen, the Bible said, Jesus said, it'll come to pass that they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service. Amen. You remember that same Jesus that said that through the same Spirit predicted it again in the end time. Amen. It's got to come. If these others hit just perfectly with the Scripture, watch and see if it doesn't coincide exactly through the Scripture and through history. God said it would happen. Here's the history said it did happen. God said it happened here, and here's where it did happen. See, just exactly. Then what are we going to do when we get down to the Laodicean church age? See where we're at now. And the woes and things pronounced to get in. So now, then this, he was in there praying while his congregation was waiting, and there was a beggar come to the door and knocked at his door, and he opened the door, and he was busy, and he told him he wanted a garment. He was naked, had nothing, it was cold, and he said, he sent him around to see the chief deacon, and the chief deacon was irritable with him, and run him out. And when it did, it run around, he come back again and told St. Martin that the deacon had run him out. And so then, about that time, this chief deacon come back in and told him kind of sharply that your congregation's waiting on you. You're keeping them waiting. But he was in prayer. It's better that he stay in prayer till he feels led of God to go out. And this beggar come back to the door, and St. Martin took off his own good garment, give it to the beggar, and had the chief deacon to go get another one and bring it to him. So he had to get a garment anyhow and put it on St. Martin, and he wore the lesser garment out before the people instead of his good garment. See, it just goes to show, give the best that you have.
Yes. Amen.
Give your life, give your time, give everything to Christ. And that same Spirit that lived in Christ lives in you. And your influence in your neighborhood and upon the people that you deal with will be so much like Christ till it'll work the same thing Christ did.
Amen.
Finally, it'll come to pass that the people laid in the shadows and was healed. That's right. There's so much power of love around them. And they said that when St. Martin was preaching, after he came out this lesser robe on, that the entire congregation noticed a glow of light all around him.
Amen.
See, because he had done the right thing. Always do right, your duty to God. Think right, that's your duty to yourself, and you've got to come out right.
Amen.
That's right. You just have to. Now, we want to start now on trying to take this in a canon of explanations tonight, because it's dealing here very strong. Now, to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write these things that saith, he which has the sharp sword with two edges. Now, I want you to notice, he's introducing himself again tonight in deity. Every church was one of his glorified state. The one that had 12 star or 7 stars in his hand. He that has the sharp two-edged sword. See, something another. He that has the feet of brass, the eyes that run with flames of fire. He's introducing himself back to his deity. Now, you say, where does deity lay in this? He with the sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Well, the sword is the Word. Hebrews 4, we took it in the beginning. When we run that deity of him down, the sword we found in Hebrews 4:12, that was the word of God was sharper than a two-edged sword. Is that right?
Amen.
That was the word of God. Is that? Now watch, you get these interpretations. Now trace that word. St. John 1, in the beginning, way back, was the Word that created the heavens and earth. Is that right? And the Word was with God. And the Word was deity. And deity was made flesh and dwelt among us. Is that right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and here he is standing here, the one at the beginning. Say this to the angel of the church of Pergamos. Say this to him, I am the Word of God. All we see him over in Revelations coming with his vesture dipped in blood, crown upon his head, riding on a white horse, and on his thigh was written the Word of God. Oh, I like that. He is the Word. The Word of God, so we see this deity then in the beginning to introduce himself. He is the Word. Now, if he is the living Word, then this wrote on the Bible is part of him.
Amen.
Then if you can receive this into him, which is the Word, this Word comes into you by faith, makes it alive.
Amen.
Because of, oh.
Hallelujah.
Catch that.
Amen.
The Word comes into you if the Holy Spirit's in there. It's alive as soon as it comes in, and every promise is true.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing, therefore, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt your heart, because what? You are deity speaking.
Amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
The Bible said so.
Amen.
And whatever you say shall come to pass. If you'll not doubt,
amen.
If you can get all of the world bred out of you, let the Holy Spirit make you a full son or daughter of God. No world, no condemnation, no doubt. What is it then? It's no more you. It's God in you.
Amen.
Then you take his word, it's a promise, and say, Father, it's your promise, Satan. Something's got to move.
Amen.
See, now you can't do that until God has revealed to you then what that case should be.
Amen.
See, then when you know what that case shall be, then you can say, like Jesus, he was the Word. Is that right?
Amen.
And yet Jesus, the man, the tabernacle, said, I do nothing except the Father shows me first.
Amen.
Then it is not the Word then until it's made manifest to you.
Amen.
You get it?
Amen.
No wonder people say days of miracles is past. The Word isn't manifested to them.
Amen.
No wonder they can't believe in the Holy Spirit. The Word's not manifested to them.
Amen.
No wonder they can't see the revelation of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The Word isn't manifested to them yet.
Amen.
And yet they don't have one scripture to go to. There's no place where anybody's ever baptized any other way. About the Holy Ghost, the Bible said that no man could call Jesus a Christ only by the Holy Ghost. And people then say they don't believe that the Holy Ghost is right. See, it's not made to him. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all the Father hath, past tense, given me will come to me. Oh, isn't that beautiful? All that the Father has given me will come to me. None of them will be lost except son of perdition, and he's born for that purpose, and I'll raise him up again at the last day.
Amen.
Oh, my. There's where our names are put on the Lamb's Book of Life, from the foundation of the world. Isn't that beautiful? How could we doubt? Oh, God, take away the doubt from among us. Just circumcise our poor human hearts till there will be no doubt at all among us. That's my prayer. Just roll away every doubt, Lord. Let me live sweetly, humbly, and walk as a Lamb of God on earth. Let me walk like he walked. Let me speak like he speaks. Let my motives be like his motives. Let others find Jesus in me. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. That's it. Let me just lose myself and find it in thee. Just so enshrouded into Christ till there's no room for no doubt just what he says. Now, I don't cry here and say, glory to God, hallelujah, praise God. You see what I can do, glory to God. You haven't got it yet. That's not the way he did it. No, stick his chest out and say, see what I can do? Yes, sir, I'm the soul. No, he never taken praise for nothing. He gave it to God. Amen. Walked humbly and sweetly with such an air around him that people just love to be around him. Amen. Only his enemies. And he loved them enough to even he prayed for them constantly all the time. That was your example, my example to do to others as he did to us. Now, we want to notice here again now in the second verse, that which would be the 13th, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even Satan's seat. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. See, they're living where Satan is seated, and still they're keeping the name of Jesus. See? And not denied my faith. What kind of faith did he give them? Pentecostal faith. At the beginning, they had a Nicolaitan faith there, a church organization and so forth. They was building up a church coming into existence under organization. But he said, you got away from that, you hate it, and so do I. And you've not denied my name, you've not went after their little cults and things. You have stayed right straight on my name, and you still got my faith like it was at the beginning. Amen. Oh, I like that. Not deny my faith, even as those in the days were in, I guess you pronounce that A-N-T-I-P-S, Antipas, was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. I'm going to stop there just a minute. Satan's seat. We want to kind of exercise on these things. I want you to catch it. Be sure you do now. Satan's seat. Now, God pronounced in Genesis where Satan's seat was, and that was in Babylon. It's always been Satan's seat. And in Revelations, it was the same thing. But if you notice, Babylon changed itself from pagan to papal. Now, in the early years, or just before this taking place a few years, Satan's seat, there, the great, I guess you would call him a pre-king priest of the Chaldeans, the hierarchy of Babylon, changed his seat when the Persians was pursuing him, and he left Babylon. His name was Attalus, Attalus, the great king priest of Babylon. When the Persians came in and taking over Babylon, running out the Chaldeans, Attalus, their king priest, fled and took his seat at Pergos. The Satan's seat is where you are dwelling. Get it?
Amen.
Now, that's why I go back to pick up this history out of the church history, finding where to what taken place when he said, you are dwelling where Satan's seat is. I thought, well, where could that be a certain thing, Satan's seat? Then I find out that this great king, after he was fleeing from the conquering Persians that had taken over according to Daniel's vision, he came to this city of Pergamos at Rome, and there made his headquarters. Satan shifted his headquarters from Babylon to Pergamos, where future he would start the new Babylon. Oh, my. Now you get the backgrounds, where we're at. All right. Now, there he martyred this wonderful brother who was martyred there, Antipas, then changing his technique. First, he He was a persecutor of the Christians. Oh, how he hated Christianity. And he was a priest king himself, heathen by nature. And, of course, then he changed his attitude and consolidated with Constantine. Constantine was always considered, and is by the papal today, the origination of the Knights of Columbus. Now, the one that gave that bloody oath. But Constantine, I say this with reverence and respect to my way of reading out of history, never was converted.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, he dreamed a dream one night that if he seen a cross and said that by this he would win the battle. And because that, he had promised release to the Christians, and he would be a Christian if they would pray for him to win that battle. And I stood by the bridge there, that were he on the other side of the bridge, sleeping, dreamed this dream, and woke up and painted a white cross on the shields of his and all of his warriors, and there were formed the Knights of Columbus, which is under Roman Catholic domination. But he never did one thing religious. The only thing that he ever did that's wrote in history as I ever seen was he put a cross on top of the St. Sophia Church. But he was a politician. And when he was the emperor of Rome at that time, he and this pagan priest together consolidated and brought in the lukewarm church called the Nicolaitan at that time, Christianity, which was leaning towards a priesthood and wanted in the church that we've taken in future studies of the church of Ephesus and so forth and of Smyrna, those Nicolaitans. Now the Nicolaitans had become not a deeds like it was back at the beginning here, but here it's a doctrine. Here it was a deeds. They were just trying to get it in. But over here in the third church age, it's become a doctrine. High priest. Great folks hadn't called them popes yet now. But they were called like archbishops. Great fellows, you know, renowned. And their doctrine was it was formal. They were getting away from the Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-led church. They let them go off in the minority and call them heretics because they wouldn't agree with them to have these great denominations. But the church wanted to stay free under a Jewish dictionary, the power of the Holy Spirit, as Christ had promised them. He'd be with them, and that was their king. Oh, their king. The true church has never changed its attitude.
Amen.
Not to be ruled by some board of I don't know what you do, call them out there, cardinals and bishops and popes and infallible ones. We believe there's one infallible one. He is our king. He's Jesus Christ with us now in the form of the Holy Spirit. God in us. Living among us, leading us and guiding us onto the waters of life, making himself known, showing as he did among those early saints and martyrs that he was the Lord God of creation, healing the sick, raising the dead,
amen,
showing visions, casting out devils. Not one time can I ever glean one thing of all the bishops of the Nicolaitan church that formed the hierarchy of Rome, the Pope, not one time in history have we a record of any of those bishops ever raising a dead or anything like that. Because Christ, the resurrection, wasn't in their hearts.
Amen.
They had consolidated and went off for our denomination.
Amen.
Sold out their birthrights. But the church of the living God had the power of Christ. The other church had the dignitaries in it. But the true church stayed with the Spirit. Are you understanding?
Amen.
All right. Now, this... So Constantine, to weld his empire together, here's what he did. He took those Nicolaitans and went to them, which was a form of Christianity. Do you understand it clear? They were Christians, so-called, professing Christians without the Holy Spirit. Oh, I wish that sank in so you'll never let it go away. See? It was Christians, denominational Christians, without the Holy Spirit. They were Christian by name. They were Christian by their gathering together. They taken communion. And they kept the orders, but rejected the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They had no signs and wonders among them. They claimed those things were in the past, that they had to set up a church for a reign. We'll get into it in a minute. What kind of a reign? See? Now, so then the Holy Spirit church had to keep itself away from such things. But in Pergos, it was all addressed to the angel of the church of Pergos. See? Because it was his responsibility now to do this. But Constantine was not interested in Christianity. He wanted to bring his ancestors, his pagan church, and the Laodicean, which had rooted in, or the Nicolaitan, which had rooted and grounded into Rome and had made a great showing, and many of the people were Christian believers, so-called. Formal. And the true church was in the minority, always was and always has been.
Amen.
Let's go to wait a minute, let that soak real deep. See? Remember, the true church has always been the little bitty group that's been pushed out of the other churches.
Amen.
The true church never was organized.
Amen.
Because it's not an organism. It is the mystical body of Jesus Christ living on earth. The
Amen.
Holy Spirit moving in these members.
Amen.
So you can't organize Christ.
Amen.
You can't do it. I want you to hold on to that for that Laodicean age now. Remember it and keep it, because every word speaks on this tape. And now, remember, keep it in mind. God's true church was never organized. The Catholic Church is the first organization ever known in the world. Never before was there ever an organization. It is the mother church, as the Catholics say it is. It is the mother church. Mother of organization churches. The Bible says she was. So you can't dispute that. They say that's a mother church. It is a mother church. She's pictured in Revelation 17. We're going to get to her directly. All right. Now, so Constantine, with this in his mind, to strengthen his empire, as Rome always did, to hold the keys to the world, he had to bring his pagan ideas and take the Christian ideas and some way consolidate them together, to weld this together and make himself an empire that would be second to none, see? Because that he was, that would make him yet the greatest ruler in the world.
Amen.
Constantine. And as far as conversion, he was a politician, but not a saint of God, as some of them try to make him. He wasn't. Never one thing did he ever do that even sounded like Christianity to me. So on the one of the Nicolaitan churches, he put a cross. And as far as anything else he ever done, it looked Christianity. I never seen it. That night he painted them on his shields like that, because he had a dream. The Christians was praying for him that he'd win the battle. Now, then he would strengthen his empire. And then to do this, he brought in pagan ceremonies over into the Nicolaitan Christian church. I'll call it the formal denominational church that was forming. He brought pagan ceremonies over into this Nicolaitan church, and that was the birth of Catholicism. Amen. Now, brother, I'm quoting history. I have thousands of Catholic friends, and they're just as much friends as Protestants are. But Protestants can't holler. Just wait till the night's over. See? You're going to see they did the very same thing.
Amen.
Pot can't call kettle greasy, see? Because it's just the same thing. The same spirit got right among them. And then you're going to see why I'm always condemning that thing. Because it's wrong. The very spirit in me, if I try to, and something in me cries out, I just can't hold my peace about it.
Amen.
Always have.
Amen.
Because great men, great religious leaders has told me, you'll ruin your ministry. Brother Branham, you're doing things that's not your business. God called you to pray for the sick. God called me to do more to pray for the sick.
Amen.
The sick's just one thing. I can catch the attention of the people.
Amen.
That's all. Sick, praying for the sick is a minor thing. See? The message is what we're talking about.
Amen.
Those things are going back.
Hallelujah.
Sick man can get healed and die again. But a man that's born to the Spirit of God has eternal life.
Amen.
So God just don't go around healing the sick like that. That gift's right in the church. For the local body. One on, then the other, and then the other, and then the other.
Amen.
See? But gifts just goes to the church. But it's more than that. I hope you catch it. All right. The birth of Catholicism. In order to do this, to catch the eyes of the Christians and also the eyes of the pagans, to weld them together and make one church. Oh, I wish I had that. Just now, a piece of paper somebody laid up here the other night. I was going to bring it and I forgot it. So many things laying around in the room there. They're doing the very same thing right now.
Amen.
And you started it when you elected the last man you elected. They are working now to find even a Bible that won't hurt the Catholic, nor the Jew, nor the Protestant. They're going to make them a Bible that'll fit the whole thing. Can't you see the cunningness of another Constantine? History just repeating itself back. Now, you seen, I got the line, you heard me read it the other night, didn't you?
Amen.
And I got it laying at home, and they've been working on it for a long time. Now, they say in 62, they'll, and notice that Pope John the 22nd has asked all the little daughter churches to come back home to the mother church. Don't worry, she will. They will. They're already back. They don't have to go back. They're already there now. Like I say in this country, said, well, if Mr. Kennedy gets elected, the Catholics will take over. Take over? They already did it a long time ago, and you didn't know nothing about it.
Amen. Amen.
Who pays their teachers? How do they get these things to go to their schools and teaching Catholicism right in their schools, and you taxpayers pay for it?
Amen.
Oh, right under your nose. See, like that. Oh, my. I worked in the Bible, said he'd take it by flatteries, and he did.
Amen.
That's right. See? Pay taxes on nothing. So, oh, so much could be said here. I just have to cut off them spots and go back again to pick up. In order to get this thing to working, Constantine set up a lot of worldly entertainments to attract the attention of both pagan and Christian into the church. Are you spiritually minded?
Amen.
Are you thinking? Isn't that the message of the hour?
Amen.
The church has bunco games, parties, giveaway cars, and just to get them mixed together.
Amen.
Welding that power back together till they can get a striking place. Just write your, that's history. Someone has no axe to grind, they're just quoting what happened. But he did it. Welded the church together by having worldly entertainments to bring together the Nicolaitan church. Now remember, he could not touch that born again church.
Amen.
No, sir, not any of them. But the formal Nicolaitan church fell for it.
Amen.
What do we have in our Protestant churches? Soup, suppers, entertainment, skating home, rag sales, and everything else. Now, you know that's the truth.
Amen.
Well, now, that if that is God's Word, friends, it's the truth. And all Protestant churches are guilty.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Now, never was God's plan to have soup, suppers, and dances in the basements and all that they're carrying on to pay off the pastor and the things. If people are just taught to pay their tithes, that'd be all there'd be to it. That's God's plan. But God has a plan, but man wants to make his own plan. Hybriding. God's plan. All right. Now, in doing this, they consolidated and made the early, formed the early Catholic Church later. Then at the first great Nicene Council, when I read that, I just fell on my knees. The Great Nicene Council had taken place in A.D. 325. All of them was brought together. The bishops and fathers of the Christian faith was brought together at Nicaea. That's the reason it's called the Nicaea Council. In A.D. 325. And about 1,500 delegates came to the convention or the council, about 1,500 delegates, and the laity outnumbered the bishops 5-1 in the delegation. But yet, through the Nicolaitans, the co-formals, and Constantine's politicianal plan, they outvoted the true church and won the victory and issued in bishops and holy order of man, taking this the Holy Spirit from the meeting and placing it up on bishops, cardinals, and popes and so forth. The same crooked deal that the Democrat Party played in this last thing.
Amen.
Now that's right. Now, we're not, the Republicans would be just as low down. But I'm talking about one thing that they prove, Edgar Hoover in California and many other places. They had those vote machines placed to where you'd vote for Mr. Nixon, you had to vote for Kennedy at the same time. He didn't have a chance. Well, now that they've proved that wrong, then why don't they do something about it?
Amen.
Amen.
We're living in the hour.
Amen.
That's it. We're at the end time. They know it. They proved that they were crooked. And now they won't do nothing about it. That was a crooked outfit back there, and here's the birth of it again.
Amen.
To get in a certain man.
Amen.
To get over a certain doctrine.
Right.
Nicolaitan doctrine, which was once just a deeds, now it's become a doctrine. The days of Al Smith, it was a deeds, but now it's a doctrine. Now it's here. It's upon us. Oh, you'll make a Jim Dandy president. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Certainly. For that next term.
Amen. Amen.
Till he can get welded in.
Amen.
Get these pagan and Christian formals well together. They're working on Bibles to try to bring it together. The popes, the cardinals, the archbishop of England, the Archbishop of Canterbury. I met him, shook hands with him, talked to him myself. What is in England? Leggings all from up almost to his hips and all kind of a funny dress fella. But he went over to visit the Pope the first time they visited for hundreds of years.
Amen.
What is it? We're at the last hour.
Amen.
That's why I'm standing here tonight instead of out here on the platform somewhere else trying to preach and pray for the sick. And I can't meet them all on the platforms of these messages over and over, and that's the reason we're taking it on tape and sending it to the world.
Amen. Amen.
They might be warned and get back to the faith.
Amen.
Even at the last of the Christian age, Jude, before the book of Revelations is written, St. Jude, supposed to be the brother, foster brother of Jesus, said, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
Amen. Amen.
They begin to get away from it then, at the death of the Lord Jesus. And now, how far is it away tonight? See? Now, this first Nicene Council, and it was in AD 325, about 1,500 delegates and bishops attended the meeting, but they overruled them in some foggy, stormy council it was, and they overruled them and voted in that the Nicolaitans took over. And that was to take the all the church and put it under a supervision of popes or bishops or something. Taking the power from the church and giving it over to the bishops. That the bishops should rule the church, and the only one that had anything to say about it. You notice in the Catholic Church today? You can't read that Bible. That's not for you to interpret. That's the bishop. See where it come from? Now you can see what the Nicolaitans really was.
Amen.
Before it began to squeak and crawl, it was born right there.
Amen.
It's true, and it was a form of Christianity. Still is.
Amen. Amen.
And then the Protestant type shot after. The Bible in Revelation 17 said, the mother and the daughters.
Amen.
We'll get to it after a while, the Lord willing. Now, you notice it's the same today they took over. Now, Constantine used Balaam's strategy. Now, I want you to try to listen as close as you can. Now, he said here in the Bible here, hold fast my faith. Now, have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them, not these here, but there they have them. You have them in the Pergos church. See, holding the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornications. Now, Constantine used the same strategy that Balaam did. They had a meeting after this council meeting here that the bishops was put over the churches and so forth to rule it and take all the power from the laity, and they had no thinking of themselves, neither did they have any right to interpret the scriptures. And it was all to the priest was to do the interpretation of the scriptures. Finally, after a while, they make a master priest and a vicar, which was the pope. But now they've come to the spot where they put all the understanding belongs to the priest. And the congregation don't have to read the Bible. They don't have to do nothing. And frankly, the Bible's kept from them. And now they've taken it all over upon themselves, and it was voted in thus because it looked good. It looked good because they was rich and so forth. And he gave this great meeting when he called together. Constantine gave the bishops nice buildings. He got a hold of some money and all these big places of great buildings, he gave these over to the church that they could use them as church houses. Oh, they were nice buildings, all dressed up and so forth. So he gave them over to the church. Besides that, he dressed up these bishops with great big robes and the underskirts and things under them. And besides that, he put them up on a build a high place like this and put them up on there like an idol. And down below them, he made marble altars under them. And he did all this converting from the pagan idea over and bringing Christianity into it, but taking their bishop. See, they just took down the idol and put up the bishop.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Making him an altar, the same thing in making him a god. Amen. Put up the bishop, and he had all to say so, dressed him all up and made him look like a god. Instead of putting him like their pagan gods, they put him on a robe like Jesus wore. See? And they made him just look like an idol sitting there. Oh, you can imagine how the pagans said, well, I can go for that. There's somebody can speak back to us. We've been talking to an idol, but this man can speak back to us. How the Christians thought, well, that's just fine. Now we can do anything we want to because there's our God. We can talk to him. He can tell us back what to do. If we sin, we tell him about it, give him a little something, and do a little novena or something, and the first thing you know, we're all right. Go back out and feel free again. Don't have to worry about nothing. Oh, that looked good. Sure. It still does to the carnal mind.
Amen.
But you'll never poke that down a barn again, child of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
It's never been
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or he knows who he has believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which is committed to him against that day. And forgetting the things that's in the past, we press towards the mark of the high calling.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In Christ. Oh, how thankful I am. Marble altar under him, setting up here, real dress, the fine church. Oh, how this all fixed up. All right. And this altar was overlaid, this marble altar, beautiful. You ought to see him yet. Same thing. Overlaid with gold and studded with gems, jewels, in this altar. Beautiful. Very fitting it was to the Nicolaitans and to the pagans. See what he did? He took the pagan ceremonies, the pagan ideas, and took Christianity, the cold formals that didn't know no better, didn't have the Holy Ghost to lead them different, and made them a god here on earth, and made an altar for them, and a god to sit there to forgive their sins. Are you spiritual?
Amen.
Do you understand what I mean?
Amen.
See what it is? A sin-passing forgiveness on earth. I'm not quoting that from my mind. That's the history.
Amen.
Give you a page and number of the sacred history. The same as I can tell you George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and the Battle of Gettysburg and so forth. Sure. All those things are history I'm quoting here. Now, it was very fitting to, not to this born-again church. No, sir. Well, when they put a man up there now to be a head bishop, to recite ceremonies, of course, that run the full gospel plumb out of it.
Amen.
It does yet today.
Amen.
Them ages are just carried over, just lapped over, see? Another form, another day. Oh, when they put a dignitary up there like a god, and he'd have a few ceremonies said, and notice that the pagans prayed to their dead ancestors. And a Protestant church that would stand up and say, I believe in the Holy Roman Catholic Church and the communion of saints. You Methodists, hide your face.
Amen.
Presbyterians and Lutherans. Anything that intercedes with the dead is spiritualism.
Amen.
Sure. But now the Protestant can't laugh at the Catholic. He does the same thing. Makes us all-sufficient confession that he believes the same thing. Baptized right back into the Catholic Church by his water baptism. Rejecting and making fun of people who try to live that right. Go to a church and see people shouting under the power of God and stand outside and make fun of it. Oh, see, spirits don't die. People do, but not spirits. See? The Holy Spirit, it can't die. It was on Jesus, now it's in his church. Always will be until he comes for his church, because it's a part of him. See? The old persecutors, they made fun of him back there in that day. They still live here today. God takes his man, but not his spirit off the earth. The devil takes his man, but never the spirit out of the earth. Those priests that sanctioned Jesus' death, that said he was a fortune teller or a devil, them fellows were as religious as all religious could be.
Amen.
That's right. They know that scripture by letter, but they didn't know the true interpretation to it.
Amen.
They had their own idea, and they wouldn't listen to nothing else. And then they seen him and know, how could they fail to see that Jesus didn't qualify to everything every prophet ever said about him?
Amen.
But they were blind. And God said he blinded their eyes for a purpose that we might have a chance for salvation.
Amen.
Now the Bible's predicted again that we are in this Pentecostal age is naked,
Amen.
Miserable, blind, and don't know it. There's the condition of the church, Philadelphia. Oh, you formal Baptist Presbyterians and Pentecostals. See, there you are. Sometimes I don't mean that to you sitting here. I'm on a tape, you see, and I know where it's going. Repent! Get back to the Bible. Get back to Christ. All right. But that's what's taking place. The full gospel is pushed out. The signs and wonders in the church was dispelled. And when the Holy Spirit group was excommunicated from amongst the others, then they denied that there was a day of such. And it was at that, and they do the same thing today. It's exactly, can't you see the spirit of it? As I told you at the beginning, put on your spiritual thinking. Let God open up your heart. Don't be prejudiced. Sit and listen. Say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me. I sit. There it is. Ceremonies. We're Baptist, Presbyterian, even Pentecostals. It's become a religious ceremony. Only thing you do is beat on a piano or something or jump up and down a while, and as soon as the piano stops, boom. Go out, cheat, steal, lie, everything else. But the real, and enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. Talk about everybody and everything. See, there you are. Not only Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, but Pentecostal Church in the Laodicean age here. Oh, why don't you get back to that what your forefathers had? Why don't we come back to real Pentecost that sanctifies and fills with the Holy Spirit that brings Christ to us? That's what we need. All right. Now, same today.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I never caught before until just this morning. Did you ever wonder why the Roman, you know, Catholic priests wear robes and things like that? Well, he just told us, dress them up, make them look like God, make them look like Jesus. And they're putting a God before the people, a substitution instead of having Jesus. I'm thankful Jesus is here. You know, he was talking there just at the end about ceremonies and being formal and telling everybody to repent. And, you know, I'm just thankful that, thankful we don't have that. But I think that's a danger that we face, is that we could just make this a ceremony. That we just come and make Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we can just make it a ceremony. We come in, we sing the songs, we do the thing, you know, the music stops and blue, we go out. We don't want that. So how many come to church hoping Brother Furman's going to get you inspired to worship the Lord? Well, that was, yeah, everybody, I got you. Baited question. Brother Trevor does it all the time. Come to church to worship God because you love him. And if Brother Furman don't have it, then you're just going to worship there. Because, you know, we put a tall order on Brother Furman. It's like, hey, you know, go be a nurse at the hospital for 8-10 hours, whatever it is, and then come here on a Wednesday night and lead us in worship. Like, some of us sometimes, we better not make this a ceremony. We better come and say, God, I need you, and I want to worship you, God, and I'm going to give everything, because it's not a ceremony, it's not formalism, but it's God through every single member of the church. And we all come and do the same thing. So I'm glad I don't wear robes. I'm not different. I don't want to be different than you. We have different ministries, different gifts. But God works through the entire congregation, amen. So I'm glad that we're free, that we're free from ceremonies. Let's just stand. Sister Stephanie started playing this song for the prayer, for the prayer requests, and it just got in my spirit, and I thought, oh my, we gotta sing this. Healing is here.
Healing is here. Healing is here.
Without ceremony.
Freedom is here. Freedom is here. And I receive it. Our freedom is here.
Our faith has been restored.
Freedom is here.
Hallelujah.
Freedom is here. Yeah. And I believe it. So I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens, eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed.
One more time.
Oh, sickness, it can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power. It is that my life is healed. I reach my hands to the heavens, where my help comes from. I look to you,
is He. I'm so thankful, Lord, that You're here. Hallelujah. Worship Him, church. Jesus is here. Not a substitute, but the real Jesus Christ. I receive Him. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And I believe Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. Lord, we're so grateful that You're here, Lord God. Oh, how the devil had tried throughout all ages to remove You from church, to remove You from the hearts of the people, to stagnate and make things into a ceremony and form. But God, by Your grace, You sent us a message, Lord, that we are recipients of, that have restored our faith back to the faith of the original Pentecostal fathers. Father, we have You in our hearts. We have You in our midst. Lord, we're free. Oh, freedom is here. Freedom from the tyranny, God, of the Roman Catholic Church, of the Lucifer system of worship, of that Babylonian system. Father, thank You for setting us free. Oh, God, our hearts are swelling this morning with thankfulness, Lord, to deliver us from these things. Lord, You sent a prophet to expose those things. Oh, how the devil just hated that message. Hated being exposed time and time again as that humble man from Kentucky got up and just exposed him. Father, we're so grateful. Lord, are there still lost ones out there in those denominational churches that are bound in this denominational system? God, as we just think, Lord, but by the grace of God, we'd be there. We'd be in a Pentecostal church, Baptist church somewhere. Father, maybe we'd just be atheists. But Father, because of Your grace, because of Your election, oh God, you showed us and You called us with this message, and there was something in us that could respond to it. Lord, we are unworthy, but so thankful, oh God. But Father, would your Spirit go and call and plead and constrain the last one to come in? Father, we're looking forward to a reunion with You, oh God. But Father, we know the last ones have to come in. And Father, as we've been recipients of this freedom, of this message, Father, would You go and would You bring others, Lord? Would You use our lives, Lord Jesus, to draw others in, Father? May we have that Spirit, oh God. God, may we have the Spirit of Christ living so deeply in our hearts. Oh, Father, that people would just love to be in our atmosphere. That people would say, oh, where do you go to church? Because I need what you have. God, may you use each individual in this church to draw the last one in. Set your people free, oh God. Lord, we're so thankful. We love you, oh Lord Jesus. You're beautiful to us, oh God. Your word is our strength. It's our life. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for recording it, Lord. Oh, that way we couldn't get away from it. We couldn't change it. We couldn't have a different understanding. But Father, we're thankful we can hear the voice that you ordained to come and speak it, Lord God. Lord, that we could have it for ourselves, that we could know it, that we could preach from it, that we could hear it in our homes, in our cars, and in our churches. Lord God, may it become life to us. May we not let it become common, Lord God. Oh, Lord, freedom should never become common to us. Thank you, Father, for all that you do, for bringing us together in this church this morning to hear your word, to worship your name, Lord God. We love you, Father. We love your name. We pray these things in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here.
Oh, we worship you, Jesus.
Jesus is here. Oh,
and I receive Him.
reach my hands to the heavens, my eyes, oh, I look to you, my rock, my healer, I trust in Furman come and sing us a song before dismissing, but just come back tonight. We'll finish up the rest of the tape. Plenty more nuggets for us to look at and to learn from and hear about our reward. You know, that's something that should bring us back, you know. He's going to talk about the reward to the believer tonight. So, Brother Furman, if you'd come. Amen. God bless you. Looking forward to the service this evening.
This is 373 in your hymn book. Thankful he came and set us free and was our great emancipator. Amen. I just love this song.
Once my heart and soul were fettered, oh, by those binding chains of sin. Oh, but the great emancipator, he set me free to worship him. I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be his holy.
Redeemed this morning. Amen. Had a prayer request come in during church. Please pray for Brother Eli Green. He's sick and they had to leave the service. Just want to remember that in prayer. And somehow I forgot to mention this morning that Brother Nathan was preaching in Liberty. We wanted to pray for him in the service there. I apologize that I forgot that. But we can remember them for Traveling Mercies on the way back this afternoon. So I want to remember them in prayer and the little brother that was sick. Brother Aaron, would you come and dismiss us in prayer and pray over these prayer requests? Let's sing it as we're dismissed.
Me to my Father's home. Oh, I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. And He
His whole